As everyone and their dog should be aware by now, there is an opioid epidemic in the United States. Are you aware of this?
Of course, yeah.
Is your dog aware of this?
I don't have a dog, but if I did, they would certainly be aware of it.
They would know about it. So let's talk a little bit about what this epidemic means. So we have this explainer from the American government. In the late 1990s, pharmaceutical companies reassured the medical community that patients would not become addicted to opioid pain relievers, and healthcare providers began to prescribe them at greater rates. Increased prescription of opioid medications led to widespread misuse of both prescription and non-prescription opioids before it became clear that these medications could indeed be highly addictive. You're telling me pharmaceutical companies didn't know that opiates were addictive?
It's silly because opiates are some of the most addictive drugs known to man because they bind to receptors that are particularly receptive to addiction. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to characterize it, sort of personalize it to explain it in normal person's terms. But yes, opiates in particular are especially addictive because of your neurochemistry, more or less, and the way your neurotransmitters interact with opiates.
And there have been like devastating opium epidemics throughout history, like the opium wars, for example, in China, where essentially Britain was selling tons and tons of opium to China and most of the population was addicted. But it's also a very good money spinner, because if you're selling drugs to someone who's addicted, then like there is no rational force that's going to prevent them doing everything in their power to buy it, even if you charge outrageous prices or whatever it may be, or make outrageous requests. They will comply with them to get the thing that their addiction needs. So it's an inherently dangerous and quite unethical business practice. And obviously, pharmaceutical companies are in that very murky ethical ground where they are selling things which people have to have, medicines and things like that, and drugs, literal drugs, addictive drugs. And so they financially and materially benefit massively from being completely unethical in their sales practices, which we will find out.
I think that one of the main things that people of the future will see looking back on our times, on the past few generations, is the absurd degree to which we medicalize the population.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So deeply unhealthy. And it was one of the things that I found very frustrating as a psychologist. And at least in my discipline, there are people who push back against this medicalization, and there's quite a number of people.
Particularly in America, prescription of Ritalin to young boys is just off the scale.
I don't think you should ever give that to children, personally. I mean, obviously, I'm not a clinical psychologist; I'm a research psychologist. But even so, you know, I think giving essentially what amounts to some sort of equivalent to methamphetamine to young children is not going to help their brain develop properly, is it? It's a terrible idea. Like, I don't understand how on earth people ever go along with this. Obviously, people just trust medical professionals far too much.
Yes, and a lot of people have made a hell of a lot of money out of this over the years.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So in 2017, the HHS declared a public health emergency and announced a 5-point strategy to combat the crisis. Now, if we look at this opioid epidemic by the numbers infographic, which they have here on the site, 70,630 people died from a drug overdose in 2019. Now, to put that into context, that's probably a significant amount more than have been killed in the Russo-Ukrainian war this year, in which tens of thousands have died.
And is that just, they just say from drug overdose, is that all drugs or is that just opioids?
So this is all drugs, to be fair.
Okay.
But opioids, as I understand it, make up the significant majority.
Yes, because they tend to be the most lethal.
Right. 1.6 million people had an opioid use disorder in the past year.
I should also. It was 2020, wasn't it? I was going to say that fentanyl is an opiate.
Yes, I know.
So they should have added another one to that, but that's 19, not 20. there we go.
You're talking about George Floyd, of course, our Lord and Savior.
No comment.
745,000 people in America used heroin in the past year, in 2019.
It's a tragedy because, of course, the pipeline to heroin is quite often prescription drugs as well. Like, people don't just go straight to heroin, just like, yes, I can now drink alcohol, now time for a bit of smack.
Yeah.
It's quite often they get a taste for opiates through prescription, through legal means, and then when, say, that gets taken away, they go to illegal means.
Yeah.
And of course, that's not always the case, but it seems to be a common trend.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. 1.6 million people misused prescription pain relievers for the first time, apparently, in 2019, according to a national survey. So again, like, this underlines your point that people are not just waking up one day saying, oh, a bit of heroin in my tea, that would be nice. I know that's not how, anyway. But no, they're not. They're coming onto this pipeline through the so-called official, safe, responsible medical system. 48,000 deaths attributed to overdosing on synthetic opioids other than methadone in a 12-month period. 10.1 million people misusing prescription opioids. That's an incredible number. 10.1 million. The population of America is only, what, 350 million?
Something like that, yeah. So that is a very large percentage. I mean,
that's like 3% of the population almost. It's a lot of people, 10 million. 10 million people. You can't even imagine that in a filling the horizon, can you? It's beyond, like, you know, there's an intuitive countable level where you can see 12 things. You can more or less see what 100 people mm-hmm. looks like. 10 million people, you just have this sea of faces.
This is a massive tragedy, really, isn't mm-hmm. it? 10 million just misusing them. That's not to mention the people who are using them and they stick to the regimen. They know their dangers, mm-hmm. but they're still going to have detrimental effects yeah. on their health as well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like if you do what you're told when you take opiates, it's all good news. I mean, yeah. we have the evidence of the good Dr. Peterson.
Yes, which we'll get onto soon. Mm-hmm. But so just to finish that, we have 2 million people using methamphetamine in the past year, 50,000 using heroin for the first time, and 14,480 deaths attributed to heroin overdoses. So this is a lot of people, thousands, millions of people involved in this opioid epidemic. No one really seems to be talking about it, and I don't quite understand why. Is it because it's old news? Because it's just bumbling on in the
background? It's been going on for a long time. This really should be front and foremost of the presidential elections, things like that of that nature, where it should be a national issue. It's got to that point now. I know it has been raised a few times by senior politicians, but it hasn't been raised nearly forcefully enough. Like this, they're making a killing off of getting American citizens addicted on drugs that could eventually kill them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just meant to, what, just sit by and allow this to happen.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. And yet people get so worked up about, for example, at the moment, people are talking about the abortion debate. And before that, we had Ukraine. Before that, we had COVID and masks and things like that.
This is one of the most tangible ways you could make a difference is trying to help people off of opiates.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy thing to do, but you'd at least be doing some good.
And I will also quote from this article here, tracking the US opioid crisis to its roots from Nature. There's a quote here, "And as hard as the authorities in the United States are working to address the opioid crisis, the country could still be vulnerable to epidemics of other types of prescription drug. Some researchers are concerned that benzodiazepines, a widely used class of sedative, are being overprescribed. Excess pills are often shared with family members or friends, in a similar way to what happened early on in the opioid crisis. But benzodiazepines are addictive and can be dangerous when mixed with other drugs. In fact, about 23% of US opioid overdose deaths in 2015 also involved benzodiazepines. That's quarter.
Appalling.
It's staggering.
And this is a legal drug as well.
Yeah, it is. This is what did for Jordan Peterson, like Jordan Peterson's kryptonite, I've heard it referred to. This is what took him out. And he ended up having to go into rehab and he ended up in a hospital in, was it Russia or Serbia? Mm-hmm. Quite a saga that ended
I don't think that was even in any way his fault necessarily. He was in appalling pain. Mm-hmm. The doctor gave him some opiates to help deal with the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he is a medical professional himself in that he's a clinical psychologist. Mm-hmm. And so he had a little bit of faith in the fact.
I believe his PhD thesis, or at least one of his successful papers, was on addiction as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he had an intimate understanding and even he fell afoul of it. Mm-hmm. And you can't blame him necessarily for wanting to alleviate his pain.
Mm-hmm.
And he even knew how to take them appropriately. Mm-hmm. But even so, it basically destroyed his body for a short time.
He cited having a condition which is called akathisia, which is not necessarily recognized in the official medical literature, but essentially it felt like he was being constantly stabbed all over his body consistently with a white hot knife or something like that.
It doesn't sound nice.
No, and so he felt he needed the opioids because that would relieve the pain somewhat and things like that. It's quite horrendous. But in this context, the reason I bring this up now is this article. So McKinsey chief says firm failed to identify opioid epidemic. If we go to the next one, failed to identify it. It's been going on for decades. Goodness me. It's quite hard to really understand what these people are saying sometimes. Reading on, the head of McKinsey & Co., big management consultancy, one of the biggest, acknowledged that it failed to see the opioid epidemic unfolding while simultaneously doing work for drug regulators and makers of painkillers, including OxyContin, in his first appearance before lawmakers investigating the consulting firm's actions. So they were working for both the regulators and the drug companies at this time. And they were like, no, there's no opioid epidemic. That's what... Anyway, Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey, who's been investigating McKinsey's ties to Purdue, a pharmaceutical company, for several years, fired back at Stonefills for saying the consulting firm absolutely undermined drug safety and worsened the epidemic. She said that in 2008, McKinsey actively coached Purdue to join with other drug makers to undermine an FDA proposal to impose stricter requirements on opioid sales, which was never implemented. So, yeah. So they basically actively coached the drug makers in undermining regulation of their opioid business.
I really don't understand how many of these opiates are so readily available. I mean, in...
Because people are making money, clearly.
I know. Well, I mean, if someone has, like, I don't know, something sticking through their arm or something, then give them one dose or something like that to help alleviate the pain. But giving them to people to take on their own is just setting them up for abuse, isn't it?
The Attorney General also discussed McKinsey's previously disclosed work to, quote, turbocharge sales of the opioid OxyContin by, quote, relentlessly targeting doctors who wrote the most prescriptions. It's infuriating, Healey said. They even went so far as to get in the car with Purdue reps to pitch OxyContin to doctors.
This is so malevolent, isn't it?
It is. It's evil. It genuinely is.
So they're getting people hooked on drugs so they can make a killing.
Yes.
Right.
McKinsey has agreed to pay $641 million, over $500 million, to settle claims by US states that the consulting firm helped fuel the country's opioid epidemic by providing sales analysis and marketing advice to makers of the highly addictive painkillers, including Purdue and Johnson & Johnson, which is the world's largest pharmaceutical company. In 2019, McKinsey said it would stop working with Purdue. And going on, quote, cash prize, celebrity status, and unrivaled recognition were among the rewards dangled by McKinsey to Purdue's salespeople if they followed the consulting firm's aggressive strategy to boost prescriptions of the OxyContin, according to documents shared between the two companies that were released Wednesday as part of the congressional investigation into the firm's role in advising the drug maker. These are the sorts of companies, by the way, which are making an absolute fortune out of the coronavirus pandemic. It seems like the ethics are absolutely trampled into the dust by the profit-seeking motives and the market forces here. Like, it's really quite terrible. Lawmakers also grilled Stonefills about a September 2013 slide from a presentation entitled OxyContin Growth Opportunities, in which McKinsey outlined its so-called wildfire sales strategy to increase the number of sales calls made to certain doctors to boost the amount of prescriptions written in markets like Wareham, Massachusetts. I mean, where do you begin? Like,
it really doesn't sound like they're trying to market a medicine at all, does it?
No.
It's not something that's actually helping anyone. And they it seems pretty transparent to me that they don't even see it that way anyway. It's just a means of making money.
Just another product that you have to sell and get on the market. And it's a conspiracy from a position of trust because people trust their doctors. And these people with their billions of dollars are conspiring to undermine the ability of doctors to be unbiased and fair and trustworthy in prescribing medication. Mm-hmm. So when you then get people who go off to like radical alternative therapies that don't work or stuff like homeopathy and that, you have to blame these people partly for undermining that trust in order to make a profit. I think it's really insidious what goes on here. It's not a purely business scenario. It's things which people absolutely need for their own health, and it's a trust relationship which they are destroying. Ugh, anyway, And just on that note, please do check out our premium video here, The Politics of American Psycho, because if there are any American psychos in the room, it's these management consultants. And yeah, I think that just about covers it.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as this premium contemplation series, this one on Imperial Japan. At least there were no weebs. And if you want to follow Josh, who made this, you can also follow him on Getter at @josh_firm on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.